Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, hey, listen, you guys, this is going to be a quick Devo on the book of, well, I won't tell you yet. You know, we've been through the book of Galatians, which was not a prison epistle, but we went through Galatians that Paul wrote. We also went through Ephesians. We entitled that The Walk, Wealth, and Warfare. Great study in Ephesians. Philippians, Triumph, Finding True Joy in Christ. We went through Colossians, Right Doctrine, Right Living. A great study through Colossians. 2 Timothy, The Good Fight. 2 Timothy, all of those just great books, all prison epistles, all written by Paul while he was incarcerated. Of course, his last book, 2 Timothy, while he was incarcerated in Rome and then went out and was martyred for the faith. But before 2 Timothy, he actually wrote a short letter to, a friend of his while he was in Rome. He wrote the epistle, the little letter of Philemon. And Philemon is just a very short letter. I've entitled this this little Devo, For Love's Sake, For Jesus' Sake. For Love's Sake, For Jesus' Sake. And before I get into the story, most of you guys may remember a running back in the day, played for the Chicago Bears, and his name was Gale Sayers. How many of you guys remember Gale Sayers? All right. Gale Sayers, of course, he's a Hall of Famer, great running back, one of the most pretty runners to watch this guy on old film. Just a great runner, very smooth, and a great running back for the Bears, kind of during the days of Dick Butkus, one of my favorite as well. But he was from Kansas State, but as he came up out of college, there was another guy that came with him. Not from Kansas, but was drafted by the Bears and played alongside Gale Sayers, and his name was Brian Piccolo. How many of you guys remember Brian Piccolo, the name Brian Piccolo? Of course, they made a movie called Brian's Song, and it included kind of the story of Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. And Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo, of course, Gale Sayers, black, Brian Piccolo, white. This was kind of during the era of the racial kind of things were going on racially, trying to break down the barriers, kind of the Woodlawn, remember the Titans era, and these two guys were rooming together, and they wanted to room together, and they, not probably right initially, I don't know about Brian Piccolo, I don't know the depth of the story, but they did room together, they enjoyed each other's company, and they became very good friends, and Gale Sayers actually had a career-threatening injury, a knee injury, and wasn't sure if he was going to make it back and continue playing. And under the inspiration of Brian Piccolo, who was not as good as a running back as Gale Sayers. He was more of a fullback, not really that spectacular running back. But Brian Piccolo encouraged Gale Sayers, came alongside him, kind of pushed him through a lot of the therapy, the painful things he had to do to come back. And during that time, their friendship just grew and grew deeper and deeper. Gale Sayers came back, and Brian Piccolo developed cancer. And the story is about their love as friends and how they loved each other, how they invested in each other. And probably you guys remember this, that speech, of course, it was portrayed by Billy Dee Williams in the movie Brian's Song, where he's receiving the MVP award. Gale Sayers is, most valuable player, the George Halas Award. And he's talking about how Brian Piccolo is really the one who deserved that award. He's a picture of courage, and he's praising Brian Piccolo. And then he says those famous words he says in the movie, and I don't know how accurate this was, but I'll tell you, it was so gripping in the movie where he says, I love Brian Piccolo, and I want you to love him too. And when you hit your knees tonight, please pray that God would love him too. And Brian Piccolo did pass away from cancer. But that story was just so powerful that it made me say, man, I sure want to have a friend like that someday. or I want to be a friend like that someday, seeing that love. And it's a great picture of really the love that Paul had for the people of God. The Apostle Paul, sometimes we just think of him as this, man, this massive doctrinal genius, you know, who just understood the Old Testament and understood the law and understand how to present it and how the pictures in the Old Testament could be portrayed and how we could see these doctrines of redemption and salvation and, the imputation of sin and how we can, you know, have all these things in Christ. And it was all true. But Paul was a lover of, he loved the people of God. That's why I've titled this letter, For Love's Sake, For Jesus' Sake, because when Paul wrote this letter, he was writing it from prison. He was writing it to a guy named Philemon. Philemon was a brother in the Lord. Paul had led him to Christ. He was a brother in the Lord. He was a friend of the Lord. He was a friend of Paul. He was also a growing Christian who was being used by God. He had a Bible study in his house in Colossae there. And Paul loved Philemon. He looked at him as a son in the faith. Well, interesting how things happen, ironically. This young man named Onesimus, while Paul was in Rome, was a runaway slave. And he came across Paul. Doesn't tell us how he met Paul, but Paul shared the gospel with him, shared Christ with him, and Onesimus became a believer, became a son in the faith, and he loved Paul, and Paul loved him, and he ministered to Paul while Paul was in prison, and he did a lot of Paul's legwork, and he was just on fire for Jesus, and he loved Paul. Well, Onesimus, as it turned out, was a runaway slave of Philemon. Of Philemon. Philemon was a well-to-do man in Colossae. He had servants and slaves. Some think that maybe even Onesimus was a half-brother, maybe from a different father or something. There was some relationship there in that way. But he was a slave of the day. And he had run away from Philemon. Onesimus had run away from Philemon and found himself in Paul's presence. I love the way God connects the dots, don't you? So Paul writes this letter to Philemon, asking Philemon to receive Onesimus as a brother in the faith and to love him and to allow him to do the work of God. And so we're going to look at some verses here and just break this down real quick. And there's a few things I want to point out and pull out of this that love accomplishes. What love accomplishes. Okay, so Paul in verse 4, he says, I thank my God. He's writing to Onesimus, or he's writing to Philemon. He says, Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and towards the saints, that in sharing your faith, the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. First thing, because of love, the gospel went out. Because of love, the gospel went out. Paul says, man, hearing of your love and faith and that the sharing of your faith became effective in the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Because Philemon had a heart for Jesus, because Philemon had a heart for the gospel, the word was going out. And so was the love of Christ going out. And it was affecting people. And people were becoming saved. And, you know, listen to this. The only reason we should be sharing the gospel is because of love. Because of love. I think some people share the gospel because, well, maybe they're just good at it. They have a talent or something of maybe great skills, you know, oratory skills. Or maybe they just want the notch on their belt, or maybe they just want to tell someone they led someone to Christ, or maybe they feel obligated. But really, the real reason we should be sharing Jesus is because we love Jesus and we love others. That should be the motivating factor. Philemon loved Jesus and he loved others. Now listen, I love this great quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, if sinners would be damned, At least let them leap to hell over our bodies, and if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. That was Spurgeon's heart. He loved people. He loved Jesus. And if we're going to see people come to Christ, you guys, we have to love Jesus and we have to love people. And that's exactly how Philemon was, and that's how Paul was. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, for we have great joy, Philemon, great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Because of love for Jesus and others, he's telling Philemon, there's going to be great joy around us, great joy. This is important to know, because Paul is, he's commending Philemon for his love for Jesus and for others. And he's saying, look, because of your love, because of that, because of your love for Christ, there's joy around you. I'm commending you for that. And for us, we should have this fragrance of joy around us. Fragrance of joy. Think about this. When you're with somebody, are they like, well, are they glad to see you? Are you glad to see them? Do they feel like lifted closer to Jesus because of your presence with them, or because of your conversation, or because of your prayers, or because of whatever you're talking about, whatever you're doing? Is there joy? Because that's the fragrance that should be around the life of someone who is walking with Jesus. Yeah, we all have bad days, and we have things we need to share. Sometimes we need prayer. But joy can be present even in the midst of tremendous difficulty. We know that. And Paul was reminding Philemon of that, that even in the midst of things, there's this joy around you, and he's thanking him for that. He's saying, I'm thanking you for this joy that's in you. But also he says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love. And that word consolation means encouragement. It comes from the word parakletos, where we get the word one who's called alongside to help, speaking of the Holy Spirit. So he's reminding and encouraging Philemon that because of his love and because of his joy, that it's affecting other people around him. Because of his love, because of his joy, because of his even the consolation that he gave, that people were being drawn close to Christ. I love that consolation. Do you think that your presence with people helps them sense that God is with them? See, that's what consolation is. It's like there's this sense of God's presence. Not that you're God, not that I'm God, but that there's this sense that God is with us, that God is ministering in us and through us. And that should be our hope and our desire, you know, when we're together, when we're with our families, with our kids, when we're in the workplace, that they sense even the presence of God, that consolation of the Lord. And this is what Paul is writing to Philemon. He's saying, man, I'm so glad that in your presence, this joy and this consolation is taking place. Verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you. Being such as one as Paul the aged and now as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains, who was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. It's interesting here because Paul knew he could actually lean on Philemon a little bit to just let Onesimus go. Like he could have said, now Philemon, you know, and kind of leaned on him a little bit. I led you to the Lord and you were a wreck, brother. Don't you owe me this to let this Onesimus go? Don't be a hard head here. He wasn't like that at all. He just showed this great love to Philemon. And it's a reminder that love doesn't demand things. Love doesn't demand things. Are you demanding? Paul wasn't demanding. He appealed. He appealed to Philemon. Oh, Philemon. Man, I could ask you, but I'm just appealing to you. Paul wasn't a prima donna. He was very humble. He was a shepherd. He was really like one of the guys. I mean, he was out making tents, right? He was a tent maker too. He was a brilliant follower of Jesus, but he was a blue-collar Christian. He wasn't sitting in the ivory tower anywhere. Usually he was sitting in jail someplace, beat up. But he was out there blue-collar working hard to earn the right to share Christ with people. Man, you just got to love that about Paul. And it was effective. And people came to Christ, and people loved him for it. People loved him for it. So he appeals to Philemon. Really, the best way to move someone to Christ, even really to obedience, is to love them, is to show them that you care. To show them that you care. I mean, wasn't it the kindness of God that led us to repentance? It was his kindness. It was his goodness, seeing how great God is, that moves us. And that should be the same characteristic of our faith, that we love people, that we encourage them. He keeps writing in verse 12 to Philemon. He says, I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might be a minister to me in my chains and for the gospel. For without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. Verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I think another thing we see here is that because of this real love that Paul had for Philemon and for Onesimus, that he was willing to let God do the work, you know, to let God do the work. He didn't try and orchestrate it or command it, but he just let God work. And he actually trusted Philemon enough to do the right thing. He knew what he had poured into him. He knew what he had taught him. And I think that for us, you know, it just is a reminder that we need to trust God to work in people's lives, work in our kids' lives, work in our family's life, work in people that we work in's life. We don't need to be stomping our feet. We need to pray. We need to love them and encourage them. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you from the Lord. I think here we see because of love, we will forgive, you know? Paul says, if he has wronged you or owes anything, he says, put that on my account. Put that on my account. And this is a sign of love. Love always forgives. And Paul was asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus for any wrong that he'd done. And I don't know if he'd done any wrong. I don't know if he ripped Philemon off, or maybe just the fact that he ran away. But Paul was saying, you know, forgive him. And then he said, and if he has wronged you, put it to my account. He stepped up, said, I'll take care of it. And who did that? Jesus, didn't he? Didn't Jesus say to each and every one of us, put that to my account? He told the Heavenly Father, put that to my account. Yeah, these guys, all of us, if we've wronged the Lord, and yes, we have, all of us at some measure, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus stands up and says, Father, put that to my account. You know, that verse in Colossians that we studied, that handwriting of requirement was nailed to the cross. You know, Jesus signed our freedom. He signed our liberty. He signed our forgiveness with his own blood shed for us. He did that for us. He forgave us. And we should do that to others. Jesus did this for us. He paid a debt that he didn't know, because guess what? We had a debt that we couldn't pay, right? Because of love for Jesus and others, we will be refreshed. Paul says in this verse here, Paul says, I'm writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me, even in your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. And then he goes on and he says, refresh my heart in the Lord. Another thing love does, it just refreshes those around you. It refreshes them. I was working out in Coachella one year, back in the day framing, Coachella Valley, 128 degrees out there, and we're framing walls, all three of us, a track of 30. No one else wanted to go out there and work. So we're framing walls, but what was out there were fire hydrants. So we're framing, and we decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start utilizing these fire hydrants. So we would drop our bags, go over to the fire hydrants, open them up, let them just wash us down, completely saturated, put our bags back on, and go frame for another hour until we were completely dry. Then it was like back to the fire hydrant. It was like total refreshing. And I think sometimes, man, life, we just need to be refreshed, huh? It's like we need the brothers. We need somehow, we need some encouragement. Paul is saying to Philemon, man, you refreshed me. And when you love and when you forgive and when you, you know, when I see people coming to Christ through you and I see your faith, it's refreshing. And you know what? That's what we do to each other. Not only are we just serving the Lord and loving Jesus, but when we do that, we refresh each other. Oh man, I love to hear or see you guys just serving the Lord and ministering and going to Fred Jordan Mission and working at Crusades and serving here around the church, and just, it's like, it's so refreshing. You could be going through heck. I mean, you can go through bad things, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to say the other, but you could be going through things that seem like you're going through hell, you know, and it's like, get around the brothers and let them refresh you. Man, that's what Paul was saying, and he was commending Philemon for that. And the lesson here is that, man, all these things, because of love for Jesus and love for others, should be the way we live our Christian lives, the way we experience Christ. And the last thing, Paul says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will even do more than I say. But meanwhile, prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I will be granted to you. Because of love, we can do even more. And I just think about all God's doing in our lives, each and every one of us looking around this room. And it's like, you know, we're ending Valor. This is the last week of Valor. But this isn't the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning because tomorrow's a new day, right? His mercies are new every morning. Tomorrow's a new day to live for Jesus. Tomorrow's a new day to love Jesus and love each other and see God do tremendous works in and through us, not only individually, but as the body of Christ. Amen? Aren't you excited about that? Yeah. And listen, don't let tonight be the end of your discipline Bible study. These 5-day-a-week studies, they're helpful, right? They help us kind of get in the groove. Huh? It's like, I got to get this done. But get into something else. Stay in the habit. Pick a book, any book. There's 66 of them. Start reading Romans. Start jotting things down. Start praying. Don't stop reading God's word. Don't stop pouring in. And don't stop fellowshipping. Don't stop hanging out together. Don't stop being part of the church. Hey, Tuesday nights, we're on a little hiatus. But guess what? There's something going on here all the time. Get involved Thursday nights. Be a part of Sunday. Get involved in a ministry. You're going to meet a lot of brothers that way and be encouraged and be refreshed and be challenged. And so I encourage all of you guys to do that. And next year, we're going to go through the life of David. So that's going to be a great study. And pray that you'll all come back fired up. Invite some guys to come with you. And let's move forward just glorifying the Lord, loving Jesus, and loving each other. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this group. We thank you for, gosh, you know, just getting into your word, getting to know each other, being able to look each other in the eye and just talk about the day, talk about what's going on in our families, praying for each other, pulling guys out of the gutter, literally. We've seen this happen this year with guys. And what a blessing that is. And Lord, we want to keep moving forward with you. And even as Paul wrote to Philemon, and how Onesimus and Philemon and Paul had this great camaraderie and this great fellowship, we want to have the same. And we want to love you, and we want our love for each other to be motivated by our love for you, Jesus. So we commit our lives and our love and this night and this week, this month, this whole summer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.